Today's daf is daf kuf aleph, so let's take it from the top line. Hayushneim kohen v'chule. So we're talking about a situation where two children got mixed up, and both they weren't sure who the parent was, but both parents, both fathers, were kohanim. They just weren't sure which one was the father. So he said, with respect to that halacha, the child certainly could eat from truma. Right, that was the case we're talking about. I'm trying to find the line in the Mishnah. Yeah, he could certainly eat truma. And he's an onain for them, they're onanims for him, but no one's able to be mitame for each other because it might not be the right father, might not be the right son. And and also the Mishnah said that if he hits them, normally a person who hits a father, curses the father, gets a, it's nisa deraisa, a chiyum misa. But here in this case, that he's pater for hitting them because each blow is a suffix whether or not it's his father or not. So we're always going to analyze these cases. Top line says Tanur Rabbanan. Hikazeh, the chazav hikazeh. He hits one of the fathers and then hits the other father.
Should go to management.
Anger management, yes, that is true. Okay. Kilozeh, the chazav kilozeh. Then he curses one and then curses the next. Or kiloshneim bebasachas, curses both of them at the same time. Or hikashneim bebasachas, or hits them both at the same time. Any of those situations, says the Tanakama, you're chayv. Because either way, you definitely hit your father. And you definitely curse your father, whether it's at the same time or whether it's some point afterwards. So you're definitely chayv misa there. Then, right. Rashi explains chayv de b'hasras v'adai hishuba. Because you gave him a hasras v'adai. When you give, before a person gets a chayv misa, there's a prerequisite. You have to give them the hasra. You have to warn them first. What you're about to do is an issa deraisa. It's chayv misa. So you warn them, you're about to hit someone. There's an issa deraisa. I'll take a shnem. Don't hit either one of these fathers, shibimakazuata mischayev. You're going to be chayev in either one. So now it seems to be this would only be the case if both of them are standing present and he's about to hit both of them. Let's say he hits one on Sunday, hits the other one on Thursday. It sounds like each individual hasra, even within this opinion, may not qualify as a hasra zvade, only if it's in within the same time zone. But basachas, he hits them together, certainly is going to be, with that blow, will be chay misa. Even zacharzet sounds like from Rashi it's limited to a very small time frame. That's all according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bibas Achas Chayv, Bizachazer Pata. He says, no, only if you hit them in one shot. You have one stick, Rashi explains. Rashi says, he's Bas Achas, Rashi two lines down. Bibas Achas, he writes, Shechavatan Bimakal Bahakachas. You take one stick and you whack them both over the head in one swing. That's Bas Achas. But Zachazer, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be Pater. Why? Says Rashi. So you have to give him two separate warnings. Each individual warning, it's a hasra safek. You don't know if it's really a hasra. Hasra safek is whenever he's about to do something, you're not really sure what he's doing is a problem. That's called a hasra safek. If you see he's about to eat a piece of chalev, or it might be shuman, you're not sure what type of fat. Chalev is an isakaris. Shuman is completely mutat eat. It's a fat. We don't know what the fat is. I'm going to give you hasra. In case that's going to be chaylev, it's going to be chiv karis. Well, that's not really hasra. And I guess the example I gave wasn't really good either, because hasra applies to Mises Bezdin. But something where you don't know if he's about to the Avera, if he does it, if it's really an Avera, that's hasra suffix. It doesn't qualify for hasra. Has to be a hasra svade, whereby if you do this action, you will definitely be chay misa. That's hasra svade. But hasra suffix, you're pater. So the Gemara says, does Rabbi Huda really say that you're pater in the case of Zacharzeh? Since each one individually has shra suffik, v'hatanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer pater b'basachas. He says even further. He says you even pater in a case of basachas in one shot where you're definitely going to be chay misa. You hit them both over the head at one time. Even then, he's going to say you're pater. So Gemara says it's in fact machlokas tre tanaya leave Rabbi Yehuda. There are two tanaim who argue what the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda really was. So my time in the man to pater. What's the basis of the one who thinks you're pater? For basachas, basachas seem to be a hasras vaday. So I'm Rabbi Chanina nemar bracha lemata v'nemar bracha lemala. It says bracha in one case. Bracha, what it means here, really means kilo. We call it birchas Hashem. It's a euphemism when we say birchas Hashem really means mekala Hashem. Person curses Hashem. Person curses a parent. It's a nice way of saying it means that we say bracha, but we don't really mean bracha. It really means curse. So it says the pasuk mekala aviv ima mosu mas. The person who curses either his mother or his father, he's chay misa. Another pasuk says, "Vel bnei Yisrael tidaber lemor ish ish ki kalal elokav v'nasacheto." It says kilel by a parent. It says kilel by Hashem. So what's the gzer shava here? So back to the Gemara, Nemar bracha, which really means klala. Nemar bracha lamata v'nemar bracha lamala. Mala mala she'ein bashutvis af lamata she'ein bashutvis. When a person curses a kavish baruch hu, it's clearly without partnership. It's obviously only to Hashem. He has no partners. So just like when you're cursing Hashem, it's one being. So too, when you curse a parent, it has to be one being. It can't be both potential fathers. So for that reason, the gzeiras hakasuv, Rabbi Yehuda says you're pater. Okay. And furthermore, v'iskesh hakal klal. So that establishes by a cursing b'bas achas. What about hitting b'bas achas? So through a further hekesh of hakal to klala, we connect cursing to hitting. So through hitting has to be to one being, not to two beings. Okay. Then the Gemara says, ol b'mishmar. So, yeah. So that's a little bit easier because bibas achas, since it's one action,
no,
so
it doesn't explain.
Exactly, that they thought was self-understood. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes the line from the Mishnah, ol b'mishmaro. So this person, who's definitely a Kohen, we just don't know who his parent is, who his father is. So the problem is, we don't know which Mishmar is. We said that there are 24 Mishmaros of Kahuna throughout the year. And each Mishmar gets 2 weeks to work, that's 48 weeks. And Pesach and Sukkot, everyone gets to work together. So he doesn't know which is his Mishmar. So it's either, you know, his father has, each of these fathers has two different Mishmaros. So the Mishnah told us that he's allowed to go work in the Beis HaMikdash during these 2 weeks, but he can't take any portion because we don't know if it's his. It might not be his week, and you can't take away from the other Kohanim who deserve the meat. So the Gemara says,
so yesterday he can work twice.
Yeah, exactly. He works twice in each of the weeks of each of the fathers, but he cannot take any food because we don't know if it's really his work. So like at this point, Gemara thinks, okay, there's avoda. No one's really losing out. Everyone's going to do the avoda. But he takes actual food. Well, that's my food. Who are you? You might be the other Mishmar. You have no right to take our food. You're not vaday our Mishmar.
Even with the avoda, this chiluk is doing what?
Yes, there's a voda they do hold. So that's Gemara is basically going to say, wait a second, that's my voda. Don't take my voda away. The Gemara is going to ask that. So Gemara says, v'chim acher deinu cholik lama'ola. So if he's not taking any food, so why in the world is he going up to the Beis HaMikdash in the first place? So Gemara says, lama'ola hamar b'inel din avin mitzvah. What do you mean, why is he going up? He wants to do a mitzvah. He's a Kohen. He wants to work in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a big difference between, okay, he knows he can't eat, but he can still perform mitzvos and be shechting the karbanos and catching the blood and bringing the blood and sprinkling the blood. There's a lot to do. He wants to do mitzvos. Ela ola lo katani. Ela ola ba karcho. So it doesn't say if he goes up, we let him work and he can't take it. It says we actually force him to go up. Such a kohen, we force him to go up. Why do we force him to go up? So Rashi says here, ba karcho, de'afagav deinu cholik, even though he doesn't take any food, we force him to go up. The question is why? Rashi doesn't really explain why we force him to go up. This is all part of the question. Okay, so this is part of the question. So it doesn't say if he goes up, rather say, Ola, we force him to go up. So Amar Rav Acha, Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Because Rashi explains, Mishum Pagam, Shtei Mishpachos, Shvushin Aleim, Shaboshin Aleim, Shiyomu Bnei Adam, Pasul Hu Lavoda. So each of these families are going to say, you know, if this is our child, we don't know which family is part of, but each family is going to say, it's going to look bad for us if our possible son is not going to do the avoda. So we want him to do the avoda as part of our mishmar, lest anybody say something bad about our mishpacha, because pekah mishpacha, we force him to work, but he's not allowed to, because he's allowed to work, because he's definitely a Kohen, but we do not go far to allow him to eat any of the food. Okay, so I guess the Gemara did not ask this question. Your question of why can't they say, wait a second, you're taking my avoda away. That's my mitzvah. Who are you? Maybe you're part of the other mishmar. So that's a good question. And we have a concept, the Gemara Chulin says, that somebody who steals somebody else's mitzvah is called it's a chayv asar zehuvim. You have to pay 10 gold coins. If the Gemara is talking about a case, let's say you shecht an animal, a chicken. A chicken's chayv and kiso hadam. So you shecht it and the blood spills on the floor. And before you get to do it, I jump, I take the dirt and I cover it up really, really quickly. I get the mitzvah, but I just stole your mitzvah. I owe you 10 gold coins. So why is it right that this guy comes along and takes my mitzvah away? It's my mishmar. It might not be his mishmar. So Mestama, he won't have to pay anything back because it's a suffix. You have to prove to him that you're not part of this mishmar. But why lichachila do we allow him to do the work in the first place? So it's possible. I'm just thinking out loud. it's possible because of the concerns of Pagam Mishpacha is going to override their concerns. Meaning the Kohanim are saying, you're not part of us. But their family is saying, it's going to look bad for our Yichus, so that Pagam Mishpacha, the potential Pagam Mishpacha, can override their claim that you might not be part of us. Maybe that's the whole back and forth. Not sure.
Well, the Mishpacha can't have it both ways. They can't say, well, you know, you might not be part, you know, you might not be part of, you're part of us, so we want you to be up here so no one talks behind our back and says, you know, we have this guy, who is he? So for that, just come up and stay with us. But you can't work because you're taking,
right.
But
I think the other families, I mean, let's say the family, the Rabinowitz family, they or the Katz family, rather, they say it's their son. Maybe it's, that might be their son. But all the other families, the Kazans, by the way, you know, Kazan stands for, I just found this out, Kohanim Shluchai D'Rachmana Ninu. Kohanim Shlucho D'Rachmana Ninu. The Kohanim, Kazdin.
Kazdin?
Yeah.
What is Kazdin?
It's a bit last name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so not all Kazans, but a lot of Kazans apparently are Kohanim Shlucho D'Rachmana Ninu. So they're Kohanim. So let's say you have the Katz family who says, this is our son. We don't know if it's really ours, but he's definitely a Kohen. And the Kazan family and the other Kohanim family say, wait a second.
Azulai.
Who?
Azulai.
Azulai is a Kohen family?
Ishazona v'chalalulayka.
Okay, Azulai. Okay, I didn't know that. Or the Rappaports. Rappaports are Kohanim. So all these Kohanim families say, wait a second. Listen, Mr. Katz, that son might be the other one. So the Katz, only the Katz family cares about his own son. But the other families don't care about the Katz's reputation.
Right, but the cats, they care about their own son, they can't turn around to him and say, oh, wait, now you're taking our mitzvah, so sit on the side when you're up here.
No, not the cats, but the Kazan family says, don't let your son can't work with me, he's taking my mitzvah away. The Kazan family says, you're taking my mitzvah away. The cats family is pushing to let my son work here.
When it's their turn.
Oh, I see.
You
uh-huh.
can't say, come with us so that it looks good, but then sit on the side because you're not going to be part of us. Which is it?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Right. Because during that, each day, another family had a different day. In the week, there were like six families. But Sunday was Kat's family. Monday was Kazan's family. So that's the point. I see. So in the Sunday family, the Kat's family could do whatever he wants for his family. The question is, why not give it out? So I guess within the Katz family, the real Katzes don't want the other guy to take their food away. They're willing to, for their family reputation, to let him work. Okay. Okay, fine. Fine. Let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, "Im hayushneim b'mishmar." So let's say they're both in the same mishmar. Happens to be the Katz and Kazin families are the ones who mix up their children. But they happen to be the same week. They have the same week during the year. Their week is always the week of Chaf Beis Teves. That's today's day. This whole week is their week. So the Gemara says, so they're allowed to work during that week. So, but if they're two different weeks, not. So Maishnash ne Mishmaros Delo. So why not, if they're two different Mishmaros, why do we not let them work in two different Mishmaros? De Azulaha Mishmar Umatchilei, V'Azulaha Mishmar Umatchilei. Because let's say the Katz family is the week of Chaf Beis Teves and the Rabinowitz family is in, I don't know, sometime in Tishrei. So each week, that Mishmar, which each Mishmar consists of many families, the family is going to say, that little Katz boy is not part of our family. He's part of the Rabinowitz Mishmar later on. And during the week of Tishrei, the Rabinowitz family is going to say, that Mishmar is going to say, wait a second, he's not a Rabinowitz son, he's a Katz son. He should be really working in Teves. And either way, he gets shoved aside. We don't know where he works. So if they're two different Mishmaros, that's how they're allowed to push them off, if they're two different Mishmaros. So the Gemara says, according to the same Svara, Beis Av, so 1 second here, Echanam, even if they're working in the same week, let's say, this week they're working, Ozil Laha Beis Av, Marchile, each Beis Av, each week was broken up to Beis Avos. And each Beis Av, each family had a different week, had a different day of the week, rather. So let's say the Katz and Rabinowitz family are the same week, but they have different days of the week. One's a Monday, one's a Thursday of that week. So the Monday guys can say, you're not our Monday group, you're part of the Thursday group. And the Thursday group's going to say, you're not part of our group, you're part of the Monday group. So even within the same Mishmar, we shouldn't allow this son, this child, to work, even though he's a Kohen, even though we know which Mishmar is, we don't know which day he works. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Hachi Kamar, Im Hayushneim Mishmar Echad, Ubeit Av Echad, Menotel Chelek Echad. If it's a situation where he's of the same week, and he's the same day, those two families work on the same exact day, happens to be, those families mix up their son, then he's allowed to work, and he can even take one chelek from the food. That's what it's talking about. Hajnalach nosin ahanusa. Okay, we finished the 11th parak. Beautiful. 12th parak, we're well into the hundreds, I guess. Not well into, but 100th first page of Yevamos. We're 20 daf away, I think, right? 121, I think. Okay, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah chalitza. Now we're going to spend some time in chalitza. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. The mitzvah chalitza has to take place in front of three dayanim. Vafilu shloshim hadyotos. Even if three of the dayanim are not really qualified, they're hadyotim. They're people who are not so learned. That qualifies as well. Chalitza b'minal. If they do a chalitza with a minal is Rashi explains shel or rach hu kein shelanu. A soft shoe, kind of like the shoes that we have. So then, if one does that, b'di'eved chalitza sakshir. It works b'di'eved. But l'chachila, a person should not do a chalitza in this way. The ideal way to do chalitza, if you look at Rashi, chalitza kshera, Rashi explains, aval l'chachila lo, one should not use a minal, this type of leather shoe, a soft leather shoe, l'chachila, k'mefarsh l'kaman, we'll see later on, mishum minal ha'mefurat shenita gavo, we'll see that later on why. Aval Rashi explains, ikr chalitza, the best way, ideal way chalitza should be done, is besandal, who shall or kasha, hard leather, should be the way it should be done. Umivushal, in a crooked, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Umishinifchas ein lo takanav ein derech linelo. I'm not sure the last line, what he's trying to say, but it has to be hard leather as opposed to soft leather.
Because once it breaks, you can't fix it
anymore. Uh-huh. That's the type of leather. If it cracks, it's done. For some reason, that's the type of leather that needs to be used. Very hard leather.
This is a hard leather that's been boiled.
Boy, that's mivushal, that means boiled. I don't know how leather making works. Shoemaking. Okay. So, okay. I told you I once saw a chalitza. They had like this hard leather, just like a sole, very hard, and then they like straps. Kind of like the Greeks. So you have the picture of the Greeks where they straps around like up into their knees. That's what it looked like. But a flat, hard thing. I don't think it even covered any of the material covered the foot itself, just the sole, and then had straps running on top of the foot and all the way up the legs to his knee. But that's the type of shoe that should be used. Banpila, I think Rashi is shabeg. It's some type of cloth. If it's a cloth shoe, like one of those canvas, there's a Converse shoes, chalitzas apsula, that does not work. Bisandal sheish lo akev, kasha. If it's a sandal, hard leather, that has a akev, which according to Rashi means a sole. I'm not sure what else it would be. I think others mean it refers to the back of the heel to hold back the shoe. What does it say there in the article, anything? Like, I don't know what you call it, the back behind the heel.
The sole of the shoe is missing.
Sulia.
Oh, it's missing, ah. So what is it? According to Rashi, it means a sole. I think some say it refers to even the back of the shoe where it holds the heel in place. I think I saw that. Could be wrong. But either way, according to Rashi, it means a sole. The she'ein lo, okay, says the Mishnah, if there is no sole, possible. If there's no sole, it's not a shoe. And then that would be possible. Minhar kuva ulamata chalitza. So the person Rashi explained minhar kuva ulamala is shenechtach raglo minhar kuva v'chalitz minhar kuva v'lamala. Let's say his leg got cut off. He's missing part of his leg. So it depends how far cut off whether you could perform chalitza on such a person. If it's from the akuva, what's the akuva exactly?
Mean haberich.
The knee. Okay. So the knee, if it's from the knee and below, chalitza sakshera. He has a knee, and as long as the knee's there, you can do chalitza on the knee and above. But if Akuva Lamala was cut above the knee, meaning he has no knee anymore, then Chalitza Psula, then the Chalitza doesn't work. Chalitza B'sandal, She'ein L'Shelo, he uses somebody else's sandal. O B'sandal Shel Eitz, or a wooden sandal as opposed to leather. O B'Shel Smol B'Yamin, he uses the left foot and the right foot. Chalitza K'sher, all these cases, the Gemara is going to explain, they all work. Let's say Chalitza B'Gadol Shu Yachol Halach, but let's say he wears a bigger size shoe, but he's able to walk, he could get by with it. So that works. It doesn't have to be exactly snug to your foot, but as long as it fits somewhat, you could function. Oh, the katan shuchupa is rov raglo. You use a very, very small shoe, but it's enough to cover most of your foot. Your foot's kind of hanging out, but the front half of your foot stuck wedged into the shoe. Raglo is rov raglo chalitza sakshera. Either of those two cases are good. It doesn't have to be exact match, but it has to be pretty good.
So it doesn't matter which foot you do the chalitza for.
It has to be the right foot, but you can use a left shoe on the right foot.
But if the guy has no foot, meaning it's cut off.
You do it on the knee, or whatever's left. As long as there's a knee that's still left, or more, then it's going to be, you could do it on whatever part is left.
But it doesn't fit, you know.
Rudder has to, whatever it fits on, it has to make a size that
fits. What fit? How can it fit on the knee?
Then you put it on the bottom, on the stump of the leg, whatever it is. You put a shoe that is able to surround it somewhat, you know, mostly, I guess. Okay. The interesting things it has in the back here, interesting reasons Tamei HaMitzos of why Chalitza, what's the significance of Chalitza? Why does Chalitza symbolize the end of a relationship? So some explain that it has to do with, this is the, Beis Yosef explained this, it's similar to Halacha Navelas. You remember from the Gemara in Ma'akatam that we don't do this anymore, but they used to do Chalitza, used to reveal some of their shoulders as a sign of mourning, depending if it was a parent from the right side, if it was, I think, another relative of the left side, if it was a if it's a nasi, I think you did both sides. All these halachas of chalitza, removing some of the shoulder, revealing some of the shoulder, is a lashon of avelus. So the Beis Yosef explains here too also that when you remove the shoe, not the shoulder, but the shoe, is also somehow an element of avelus, of expressing like the death of the brother, that you're not willing to continue. That's how the Beis Yosef explained this idea. Okay, there's also an interesting discussion about the relationship between Chalitza and Yibum, how the two of them relate to each other. Those are two options of performing either Yibum or Chalitza. So the big machlokas we've shown him whether Chalitza is considered a mitzvah bifnei atzmo, and or it's part of the mitzvah of Yibum. So do we say that Chalitza only exists if you opt out of Yibum, meaning really Yibum is a mitzvah, and if you decide not to do Yibum, then it creates a new possibility of Chalitza? Or do you say they're very much connected and you have the same equal options of performing Yibum or Chalitza? Now, the way I just said that, I really conflated two issues. It's presented here as two conflated issues. They're really two separate issues to my understanding. One thing is, how ideal is Chalitza? Chalitza and Yibum could be the same, you know, both good approaches, or Chalitza is very secondary. Now, it's very separate than another question of they're related or not. You could still say that they're two different mitzvahs, but they're two feasible options. Yibum and Chalitza are two separate mitzvahs, but you could both ideally take any approach you want. Some reason in the back, they conflate the two as saying, if you're going to assume that they're both equal, that means they're one mitzvah. I don't really get that. Maybe I'm misreading something here. But the second issue is whether they're connected. So those are the two issues, whether they're connected as two mitzvahs or not, and whether chalitza is considered as lichachila as yibum is, or is it only bidyeved if yibum is not being performed. Okay, and another issue that's brought down here, so just general understanding of yibum, is the Sefer Chinuch talks about whether or not there's a mitzvah on the women as well. Is the only mitzvah of the man, the yavam? Does he get the mitzvah? Or even the woman who's doing the chalitza, is she also mekayim a mitzvah? So the Chinuch says the mitzvah is only incumbent upon the yavam, the man, not upon the woman. But there are other opinions who think that even the women have the mitzvah, a hand in the mitzvah of chalitza. And one other issue before we go back to the Gemara is the Rashba says that there is no bracha on the mitzvah of chalitza because the mitzvah of chalitza is not really a mitzvah per se. It's really a mitzvah to get to Puravu. The real goal of Puravu is a mitzvah. Chalitza is just a hechatimsi to get her to have children. That's, you know, release her now to get married. So chalitza is not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, according to the Rashba. It's simply a hechatimsi for her to get have children. Others argue, the Ma'aril says, there is actually a mitzvah on, there's a bracha on the mitzvah of chalitza. Okay. Now, what could also be considered in terms of the brachas here, we don't say brachas on things that are negative. It's chalitza considered something negative. There's no bracha by a get. There's no bracha, I don't think, there's a bracha by a rifas petach hamor. If you break the neck of the donkey, it's not the ideal way to do it. The ideal way is to take the donkey, the petach hamor is a firstborn donkey, you're supposed to redeem it onto a seh or money and give it to a kohen. There's a bracha for that mitzvah. But if you decide to not give it to the kohen and instead break the donkey's neck, I don't think there's a bracha. Whenever there's a negative mitzvah, there's no brachas. So there's no bracha by a get, there's no bracha by a rifas petach hamor. I wonder if that should be another reason why there shouldn't be a bracha by a chalitza, unless you view chalitza as being somewhat positive. Although I'm not willing to take the family, marry my sister-in-law, I'm allowing her to get married to somebody else. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm just throwing out some issues for food for thought. Okay, let's go with the Gemara now. The Gemara says now, "Omiachar de afilu shloshe hadyotos dayanan lamali." So from the fact that we allow three hadyotos, three really inexperienced individuals, so then why do you need dayanim at all? Even lechachila, I guess. So the Mishnah says shlosha dayanim, and then it says afilu shloshan hadyotos. So just say shlosha hadyotos. What's the need to even mention dayanim? So the Gemara says hakamash milan debeinan b'shlosha sheyodim the karos kein dayanim. You need three hadyotos. There is some standard that we require. They have to be able to know how to read like dayanim are able to read. Read what? So Rashi explains lahakaros liyavam. They have to call to the yavam. Lo chafatzi lekachta. They have to make sure the yavam is able to recite the words of lo chafatzi lekachta. I don't want to marry her. Mani vamal lahakim megomer v'chacha yasal ish. There's a whole dialogue. The psukim talk about this, and this is actually what takes place. I remember when I saw this chalitza, neither party was from. So they gave them these whole, not that, and even if you were from, you wouldn't know what to say. But they were given a document of what to say. And it was like almost a play that he said her part. No, he said his part. She said her part. They're going back and forth having this pretend dialogue, but they had to articulate all these words in this conversation.
Gibberish.
Gibberish? No, and they were saying...
English.
Right.
Gibberish.
Gibberish, okay. So but they were saying this both in Hebrew and English. They were saying back and forth having this dialogue. So these hadyotas have to know how to, you know, recite the words for them to say to each other. That's the criteria that we need for these shlosha hadyotas. So the Gemara says, Tanina lahad the Tanir Rabbanan, there's a brisa that says mitzvos chalitza b'shlosha shiurim hikaros, a clear brisa that says that these three hadyotas have to know how to read kein dayanim, just like dayanim do. Behuda omer bechamisha. Behuda says you need five, not three. Big machlokas, do you have to have three dayanim or do you have to have five dayanim for chalitza? So my time with the Tanakhama. What was the reason Tanakhama only required three? The Tani, the Brisa quotes from the Pasuk, Zekanim, Zekanim in Shnayim. You need two Zekanim. So just to get the whole Pasuk here on the side, Pasuk says, V'karulo Zikne Ira. The Zikne Ira, the elders of the city, have to call to him, to the Yavam, to say what he has to say. So Zikne means at least two. It implies Zekanim Shelo, two Adim, two Zekanim, two elders. Vein based in Shakel, Mosif Nalein Odechad, Hare Kan Shlosha. There's a klal that you're not allowed to have an equal basin, cannot be even people. There always has to be an ad bezin. And for that reason, you have to have a total of three. So this also becomes a very interesting source for the concept of Ein based in Shakel. The Gemara Sanhedrin, the first paragraph, talk about the need for an Ein based in Shakel. You need to have an ad bezin. And the bigger discussions whether or not an ad bezin is the definition of a bezin. Or you need an ad bezin because you need to come to a conclusion. If you have an even bezin, you're going to possibly have a stalemate. And you always have, once there's ad, there's obviously going to be an answer. So the question becomes, is it really a din bezin? An odd number means bezin, or you need it because of the results? Now this Gemara they point to proves that it's not about results. Because chalitza doesn't have results. You're not making a decision here. You're not saying, oh, let's vote. Should this be good or not? There's no vote here. You just need three people, or an odd number, creates a bezin. Okay. I thought this Tosis was important here. I don't remember exactly. Okay, let's go weiter. So that's all according to Rabbi Huda from the word Zekanim. That's all according to Tanakhama. That two Zekanim implies two. You add one more to make sure it's an odd number of people. Comes along Rabbi Huda. Zekane is Shnaim. Zekanim Shnaim. Because there's yet another pasuk that says Zekanim, I think. Let's see. Is there? No, there's not. He's just darshaning. Zekane.
Oh, there is.
Yeah?
It's the same pasuk before. V'altai v'rtu asharei laskenim.
Ah, okay. There you go. It says Zekanim. It says Zikne. So these two, Zikne is two. Zekanim is another two. Ein based in Shakel. He agrees to that concept. Mosif n'alein on echad. Harei kan chamisha. That gives a total of five. Tanakama hai Zikne mayavile. What's he going to do with the other word of Zekanim? He deals with it as follows, Mibaylei liribuye afilu shlosh adyotos, to come to include not only Zekanim, who you would imagine are Bikin and Dayanim, Mumchin, any Zekanim, any older people, in other words, anyone, really is enough to serve on this Bezdim. Behuda hadyotos minale, he doesn't have a Zekane extra, he uses both words for the number. So where does he learn that hadyotos qualify for a Bezdim? And for chalitza, minale. How does he know this? Nafgale mi le'ene. The word says le'ene. Damar mar le'ene. Prat l'sumim. So the word ene means those who could see, as opposed to somebody who cannot see, cannot work on such a bezin. No mi di itzrich le'ene mute sumim shmam no dafli hadyotos. So the fact that you needed a pasuk to exclude sumim sounds like even hadyotos would be enough. Why? Di sagadaita sanhedrin ba'inan lamli mute sumim. If you require the real Sanhedrin standards in general, by real Sanhedrin, so then you wouldn't have to exclude Sumim at all, because as we're about to see, Sumim are disqualified from being on a Sanhedrin in general. So why are they excluding Sumim? So it must be the standards for a Bezin Chalitza is much lower than a standard of Sanhedrin. So once we're going lower, we allow anybody to serve on such a Bezin. But it comes where the Einei to say that, but Sumim cannot serve on such a Bezin.
Anybody can see.
Anybody could see. Yeah, anybody could see, right.
Any Zakin can see.
Right, anybody. So the Gemara explains, how do we know that a Summa is Pater or Pasul from being on a Sanhedrin? Mitatani of Yosef Nafka, Titani of Yosef, Kishem Shebezdin Munukin Mitzedek, Kach Bezdin Munukin Mikol Mum. Just like Bezdin is supposed to be clear and clean of any of all anything other than tzidkus. They have to have complete pure tzidkus, and in terms of judgment, mishpat, they also have to be clean of any mum. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, kulcha yafe rayasi umum einbach. There's a reference referring to, I guess, the Sanhedrin, apparently in Shir Hashirim, that all of you are my, I guess, dear ones, my friends, and there is no mum among you, and they took this to mean literally a physical mum. So suma is possible from being on Sanhedrin. So why is there a need to exclude suma from the bezin of chalitza? Must be the standards of chalitza much lower to include even hadyotos are kosher, but for the exception, with the exception of suma, is excluded.
Well, say it again. The last part that you said. Why suma is excluded?
Sanhedrin, the pasuk tells us, mum lo yebacha. There should be no mum for the members of Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
So why do you have to say a special pasuk by chalitza that dayanim suma doesn't work for dayanim of a chalitza? We already know suma doesn't work. It must be that the standards for dayanim of chalitza are much lower than the standards of Sanhedrin. We don't need a real Sanhedrin.
Why we know that suma can't work?
So the pasuk of the drasha is le'enei, says the Gemara, prat l'sumim. Why do you need to exclude a suma? In general, a suma can't work on a Sanhedrin.
Okay.
So the fact that you need a pasuk to exclude suma tells us that the standards for chalitza is lower than a Sanhedrin. Chalitza does not fall into the category of normal Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, a suma can't work. By chalitza, there's a havmin to think that a suma can work by chalitza.
What do you say, Nate?
It can't work, but had we not had the pasuk, a suma can work. Must be that not only a suma could work on the bezin, even any other hediot could work on a bezin of a chalitza. That's the proof. That's the proof for Rabbi Yehuda. So what about the Chachamim now, Tanakama? Vidach, what do they do with the word? Hahu le'enei, my avalei. What do they do with the word enei? Hahu lechadarava, hu da'asa. Damarava, tzricha, dayana, lemechsei roka, de kanafik mipuma divama. So they need to mamish le'enei. They have to see the spit coming out of the mouth of the yivama, her. Dichsiv le'enei, hazikainim v'yarka. In the front of the eyes of this game, she spit. This mamish happened. When I saw that chalitza, the dayanim, who were older men, got down on their knees and they were like observing, and she spit, and they said, "We missed it, we didn't see it." So she had to do it a second time. And this, imagine this lady out there, so she wasn't from, even a lady who was from, like, no one knows about what really goes on. It's probably degrading to spit in front of another man, in front of 80 other men standing around, crowding around. So it was very uncomfortable to watch her spit yet a second time. They're like telling her, try to like, you know, draw up the saliva, build up some saliva in your mouth, try to get it in there, and she's there trying to like soak it up and build up some saliva. So I felt very bad for her. So they had to mamish see. No, it was. It was like people were hanging over the rafters and over the mechitzas to see it. It was really like a circus. I felt very bad for these people. Some people were mentioned sitting down nicely, but I guess it probably wasn't so right. It's supposed to be public. It is supposed to be public, so everybody knows. But I felt very bad for these two
individuals.
Surprising
that none from did such a takis.
Someone probably got wind of it and said, "Let's just do the right thing." And they seem like very nice people.
They're not observing.
Yeah, so someone, they probably had a relative who was who was from, and they said you should probably go ahead and speak to Rabbi about what's going on.
Probably got married by a rabbi originally, even if it
was right. Right.
Why not do this? Because of that reason.
Right.
Because of that circus.
If she
would knew, she wouldn't do it.
She was a very good sport. She was a very good sport about it. She was a. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Vidach, where was that? I thought I saw somewhere that B'di'eved, if they did not see the spit, it still works anyways. Did I see that in the back maybe? B'di'eved, the implication is that they don't have to see it. Right. The Yamsha Shlomo Paskins, if they didn't see it, they don't have to go ahead and do this another time. This drasha is only a smach ba'ama. But he quotes from the Maharil that thinks you do have to redo the spit so they see it, because this is really a drasha gemara. So it's a big machlokas. By the Bach Paskins, apparently, that's possible they didn't see it. And the Beis Shmuel and the Beis Meir say, how could you say it's possible? So it's a big machlokas. So either way, what I witnessed is they were machbid on the Maharil, apparently, to redo this spit. Okay, the Gemara says now further. Idach, five lines from the top. Idach nami mi baile lechtharava. The others also, according to Rabbi Huda, they also need the pasuk of Ene. How they learn the drasha of Tshicha Dayana. What's their source? Enech nami. So they also use the word actually Ene. Even Rabbi Huda used the word Ene to teach us that they have to witness the spit. So it goes back to square one now. Ela hedyotos menale. According to Rabbi Yehuda then, where does he learn that hedyotos are able to serve on a chalitza bezdin? So they learn menafka mi bishral Yisrael kaldu. It says Yisrael in the pasuk. Any Yisrael, there are no standards at all. Any Yisrael can serve on the bezdin. Vida chayisa my avilei. So what do the Tanakhama do with the word Yisrael? The ones who are officiating over the chalitza has to be a bezdin of Yisrael. It cannot be a bezdin that consists of gerim. I thought in
but
general,
it
yeah.
Be an Yisrael, no?
Sorry, say it again.
You need to be somebody that knows the psukim. That's why you need any to begin with.
You need someone who knows the psukim, exactly. But those standards are not very high. It could be someone who knows psukim well, but doesn't know anything else.
Yeah, but. Yisrael, not necessarily know the psukim.
No, you're right. You're right. Any Yisrael, but the one criteria we have is he has to know how to read the psukim.
And not Summa.
Right, and not Summa. Right. Well, the truth is, I'm not sure what to do with Summa right now, because Summa was used for, learned out from the word. I thought Adam was going to ask this question, because he usually asks these types of questions. But Summa is usually learned out. We learned out from the word Ene. But now the word Ene is being taught something else.
Yeah.
So now, does that mean Summa is allowed to serve in the Bezdin? Now there's no Drasha, which excludes Summa anymore. It's your type of question, I think, right? Sam, I'm not sure.
But how did, at that point in time, how did the Tanakhama learn Summa?
I was wondering that. I thought you were going to ask the question at that stage. Mm-hmm. I don't know either. It sounds like there is no Ein Mishpat, there's no Rambam note by the Summa. It's very possible B'dieved, a Summa might be able to work. But the fact that he can't see the spit, he's not excluded from the Ene directly. But since he cannot accomplish the seeing of it, mimela, he can't be included. That might be how you have to explain it. Okay. So the Bezdin that, so we learned from the word Yisrael that it has to be a Bezdin Shai Yisrael, not a Bezdin of Gerim. Now, I thought in general that a Ger can't be a Dayan. I thought it was a halacha in general. It's possible Gemara is going to get into this, I don't know. But further now, Idach b'Yisrael achrin aksif. So the other opinion says, no, there's another use. It says Yisrael twice. One Yisrael to tell, this according to Rabbi Yehuda, one Yisrael to tell us that any Yisrael, any Hedyot could do it, and the other Yisrael says it has to be a Bezdin of Yisrael, it cannot be a Bezdin of Ger. So, Idach mi bar lei lechadetanya. So, what does Tanakhama do with his second Yisrael, the second word Yisrael? They need it for the following lechadetanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda pam achas haynu yoshvim lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. We're once sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Uba yivama lachlos. And a woman, Yivama, came to do chalitza. Vamarlanu. And he said to us, I guess the Yavam said to us, Anu kulchem chalatzanal, or maybe Rabbi Tarfon said to all of us, all of you, she responds, chalatzanal. That should be the response after seeing the event, like, you know, say, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, here to you also, you say, chalatzanal. I think that's what he was trying to tell over, that I think all Yisrael, anybody who witnessed this, is supposed to respond that way. That's what you learn from the word Yisrael, I think.
Is that what happened when you were there?
I'm trying to remember that. I think people, you know, mumbled. People who knew probably like mumbled certain things.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they said everyone say chalas anal. I don't think they made like an announcement like that. Now I'm remembering. I think maybe they said people started saying chalas anal, and I just repeated what other people said. I'm not remembering fully, but I think that's what this what we're learning from this pasuk.
They publish like there's an event. There's a new event coming up to town. Chalitza.
No, it happens to be. One of the rabbanim in the community who I know well mentioned it to me that it was his father's shul in Flatbush, so he invited me to come, so I went. But apparently, you know, another 100 people who lived in Brooklyn also knew about it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It's not so common, imagine. But yeah, I don't think there are posters. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Idach. The other one, how does Rabbi Huda learn the idea that everyone's supposed to respond chalatzanal? He says it from the fact mi v'nikra nafka. That says v'nikra, it should be called out. It should be called out by the people. Everyone who's witnessing it should call chalatzanal. So tell me, if that's the case, the karushnaim v'dibushnaim hachanami, the Rabbi Huda hare kan tisha, Rabban hare kan shiva. So I guess we're going back to all the drushes before. About darshing ziknei zakenim. So there are other words, there are other verbs there. It says karu, that implies two people, and dabru implies another two people. So that should total 9 for Behuda. That should total 7 for the chachamim. So the Gemara says, hahumi barle. No, those words are needed for another pasuk. You can't use his words to add dayanamon. They're needed for the following reasons. Mi barle lichadatanya. The karu. Karulo velo lishlucham. You have to call to him, the dayan have to call to him, to the yavam directly, and you cannot send a messenger. He cannot have a messenger perform the zibum, or the chalitza rather. It has to be him himself. That's v'karulo, specifically to him. V'dabru elav, speak to him. Melamed, what do you mean speak to him? You speak to him as a person. Shemassin lo eitza ha'gonos lo. We give him the proper advice, and this is a nice drasha. V'dabru elav, when you speak to a person, it doesn't mean you speak to him. You speak really to his heart, to what he needs, to what he wants, what's best for him. What do we say to him? We give him the proper eitza. Sheim hayahu yelad v'hu zakena. If he's a younger boy, he's 21, and the sister-in-law is 65, let's say. Who's talking to the opposite? He's 65, he's older, and she's a 21-year-old. What are you doing going to an older woman? What are you going to such a younger woman? Go to someone within your own age bracket. Because by marrying someone who's so off of your age, is going to only create fights within your house. That's what it means, dabrei lav. So v'karu lav means we speak to him, not to his messenger. The dabrei lav, we speak to him as a person, what's best for him. Interesting Tosfos. Do we have time? We have 20 minutes. I think we have time for Tosfos. Tosfos, dear Maskev, a karulo v'lo l'shlucho. We call to him, but we don't call to his messenger. Tosfos writes v'tema. A big question here. The Alfinon b'perek beis the Kedushin, famous Gemara there, the second perek of Kedushin, mikrai d'shlucho shel adam kamoso. It goes to a number of sources. How do we know shlucho shel adam kamoso? When I point a messenger to marry a woman for me, he represents me. That works. If I appoint a person to Shech the Karim Pesach, well, he's my representative. Shlucho shel adam kamoso. The shluach is like me, myself. The shliach is like I am there. Okay. So now, problem is, ad rabba nilif mehacha dein shlucho kamoso. But here, where it says v'karulo v'lo shlucho, only I can be present as the yavam, but I cannot have a messenger there, that implies that shlucho shel adam lo kamoso.
That is a big difference.
Yeah, what's the answer? What do you think?
No, I'm not in regard to the answer.
Yeah, what?
Shlucho or not shlucho. When I send somebody to send a message, so I designated somebody. But when somebody wants to refer to me, he doesn't know who's my messenger.
But I get you could also do shlich la kabbalah.
Understand? Meaning you come directly to me.
You could do shlich la kabbalah by get.
A woman could supposed to receive a get. She could appoint a messenger to go receive the get for
again,
her.
Again, she pointed a messenger.
No, here it also. No, let's say they appointed. Let's say the yavam appointed. Ruven, you're my messenger.
Yeah, so what are you saying? That they cannot appoint a messenger, or they cannot appoint a messenger to the one that's supposed
right.
to know.
The Yavam cannot appoint a messenger to represent him. He has to show up in Bezdin to perform Chalitza. He cannot have a messenger.
Oh, okay.
So we see that Shliach cannot be like the guy himself.
I would say it's some mitzvah shebegufo. Like, just like if I wrapped filling on my arm, I can't use a Shliach. I need this thing put onto my leg. So I need her to spit in front of me. The action has to happen to me.
No, that's interesting. Is it really a mitzvah begufo? Again, just because it happens to the body, I know the Tosri Yitzhakin says begufo, doesn't mean it's mitzvah begufo because the Kedushin requires handing over money. That it's, you know, you're not wearing anything, but it still requires a transit, right, it requires movement. So I don't know if it means necessarily, it's possible, maybe that could be a good answer. Maybe chalitza is considered a mitzvah begavra, and it cannot be represented like tefillin. I can't have David wear tefillin for me. Right? Maybe. That's what Tosri answers. V'yesh lomar diyesh kama k'suvim habam ke'achar. There are many psukim that come together. D'gavi egla rufa nami darshinim v'yatzu hein v'lo shlucham. Uben nachlas perek shtei benidas darshinim v'musamach yodav v'lo shlucho. Uben adarm m'ayit shliach m'farsan adarm, Rabbi Yoshia. He said, there's so many psukim that exclude a shliach. It's not this pasuk. It's all over Shas we have. All over the Torah we have drashas where only he and nobody else. Only he could do egla rufa and not a messenger. Only he could do the smicha, not a messenger. Only he could do a farsan darm, not a messenger. So just like we have many psukim that prove on one hand, shlucho shel adam kamoso, we also have many psukim that prove the other way, that shlucho shel adam lav kamoso. So it's not really steer. They're both very relevant concepts. You have to know when to make which types of drasha. That's in essence what he's saying. So in regards to Adam's suggestion, I wonder if anyone does make that suggestion. Ah, okay, very good. He's assuming that the mila are very important. Mm-hmm. Has to be liakuva. I'm not sure it's liakuva or not, but even if it's not liakuva, it still is considered mila. Okay, that means it's by mila. That's the Gemara Gittin says mila lememson. Very confusing sugi there. Mila lememson the shliach. You cannot pass words on to a shliach. You could pass a command, you can pass an action on, but to pass on words, you cannot pass on. And since this requires words, milim, it does not suffice to have a shliach. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure anybody else who answers that what you were suggesting, but it's certainly interesting about mitzvah l'shava gufa. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, three narrow lines up, Amar Rava. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha, chalitza, b'shlosha. We paskin like Tanakama, that you require three dayanim for the chalitza. Hol v'stamlan tana kavase. Since there is a stam brisa, or a mishnah, our mishnah here is a stam mishnah that says you need three. So our mishnah says, what's the line of the mishnah? Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. Ah, we have brisa that says, we who the thing's five? No, we go based on the stam mishnah. It just records one opinion. Amar li Rava, Rav Nachman, Rava says back to Rav Nachman, ihachi miunami. But if that's the case, by mean as well, it says the mishnah the tanan. Hamin v'chalitza b'shlosha, it requires three. So maybe by mean also, if you have to do mean, if a woman does mean, she is a yisoma who gets married and she refuses from the marriage, all she needs is really three. So we should have three dayan by mean. V'chite mahachanam, if you're going to say yes, it's true, we should only require three by mean. There's a stam mission that says mean is three. V'hatanya, but the Brisa says otherwise. Mion b'shame omrim b'sin mumchin b'sin hil omrim b'bezdin v'shelo b'bezdin. Is that b'shame requires a real bona fide bezdin, and Beis Hillel says no, it could be a real bezdin, it could be a makeshift bezdin, either way works. The elav elav modim, but they're both in agreement. Shitzarach shlosha, and they both require three. Comes along Rabbi Yosef Yehuda of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, machshin b'shnayim. It's enough to have just two dayanim by miyun. V'amar of Yosef bar minyumi, amar of Nachman halacha ke'osa zug. It's like the second pair that you require two.
What is miyun again?
Miyun is if a yisoma gets married by her yisoma yitoma. Gets married by her father dies. She gets married by her mother or brothers or both. She's married, but it's a kedusha midirbanan only. That she could say, you know what, I want to opt out before she becomes a gedola.
And then they go to a bedin, which is two is good.
Exactly. According to this, it's two. So how could you say it's two is good? Isn't there a stam mishnah that says miyun is three? So we don't follow stam mishnah if there's a machlokas elsewhere. So how could you say we paskin by chalitza? Since it's a stam mishnah that says three, we paskin like that stam mishnah. There's a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda thinks you actually get five. You need five. So the Gemara says no. There's a difference between the case of miyun and the case of chalitza. Hosam chad stama hacha tre stame. When it comes to the case of miyun, there's only one stam mishnah. So we have one stam mishnah that says three for miyun versus a brisa that says five. So that's not really a stam. But by the case of chalitza, we have two different stam mishnahs that both say three. One mishnah is our mishnah here in the parak here, the first mishnah in the Amud Aleph, and the other stam mishnah is what we brought in the Gemara of miyun and chalitza. Miyun and chalitza is b'shlosha. That's the second stam mishnah that says chalitza is three. So the two stam mishnahs of chalitza about three is going to override the one brisa that says you need five also. So the Gemara says hasam nami tre stama ninu. There's actually a second stam mishnah that miyun is three. So really, maybe Miyun should also be three. What's the stam mishnah, the second mishnah by Miyun? It's not, the mishnah tells us, this mishnah appears in, much earlier, Chaf Hamer Beis. Mi'ana o shechalitza b'fanav, if they do Miyun or chalitza in front of him, yisana b'pnei shu bezdin. In front of him, they're allowed to do bezdin. So, so Rashi explains, Rashi b'pnei shu bezdin, Klomar lo yachad haya, wasn't one person sham. The name of Bishvilo Niskavin, Shere bezin haya sham. There clearly was a bezin in that mishnah. Ve'en bezin pachs mishlosha. When we ever use the word bezin typically means three. So we have a second mishnah that says a stam mishnah that says means b'three mishlosha. It's a strange stam mishnah. It's not really so clear. But Rashi says that's the kavana of the mishnah. Bezin means three here. So we have two stam mishnahs that mean requires three. Yet we still paskin you could do two. No, it's actually two. You're right. By miyun, there are two. But the two stam we don't care about. But by chalitza, there actually are three stam mishnahs that say you require three dayanim. So where's the third one, though?
Chalitza was said in this one. It was said in these two. Miyun was said in our mishnah.
Oh, this last mishnah also says chalitza. Chalitza and miyun. Okay. Says the Gemara now. So michte, hastama v'hastama, mali chad stam, mali tre stama, mali tlasa, who cares how many, one, two, or three, a stam mish is a stam mish, we always follow the stam mishnah else. Ela amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak hol v'stam b'makom machlokas. Since there's a stam in the context of a debate, that's the situation. What do you mean? It's not in the Mishnah tells us where is the Sanhedrin, I think. Yeah, the first Mishnah, Sanhedrin, very long Mishnah. Smichas is Zekanim, Vegla Rufa, Bishlosha, Divir Rabbi Yossi, Vihudo Mer Bechamisha. Hachalitza Vamiyunin Bishlosha, Vloka Palga Bihuda. Shmamina Hadabe Rabbi Huda Shmamina. So the Mishnah, who just mentioned there's a machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Huda, with regards to how many members you need for Smicha, that you used to pass on Smicha to Zekanim, or Vegla Rufa, not our issue, but Rabbi Huda still weighs in there. Then the very next discussion is about the chalitza. You require three. But yet Rabbi Huda is silent. Why is Rabbi Huda silent? Must be Rabbi Huda he retracted on his opinion. Even though in one brisa says five, he retracted when it came to the Mishnah, all you really need is three dayanim for chalitza. And that's why Paskin three.
It also seems to indicate he retracted by Mia, because he doesn't respond there.
No, it wasn't Rabbi Huda by Mian. It was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. Different. Look at Tosos, Dira Maskel Shmamina, Hadar Be Rabbi Huda Shmamina. I'm not sure why this is brought here, but Pasak Rabbeinu Tam, Desuma Ba'achas Meinav Kosher L'Chalitza. If a person is blind in one eye but can see with the other one, he's kosher. Kevin Delo Mimatin Mila'enei V'Sagi Be'achad V'Yachol Leros Harok Mipia Yuma. Just like he said, Mipia Yivama. So we don't use the word Enei anymore.
So this is actually Tosfot proof that the Enei for Soma is the Yirika. Like it in the same
exactly, form, yeah. Exactly. Right, very good. Okay, the implication was, in the Havamina, when you had the word Enei, a person blind in one eye wouldn't be good either. Enei means blind even somewhat, would be possible, even though he could still see the rope. The Maskana is, it's not about being blind, it's about seeing the rope. So if a person could see with one eye, then he's good enough. Even though he might be a Suma, a Suma is not excluded. What's excluded is one who cannot see the rook. Okay, let's go weiter. We still have, today is what? Tuesday, so we still have time. Two dots. Amar Rava. Tzrichei dayanei lemikvei duchta. The dayan have to set aside a place and say, let's see, dichsiv va'alsa yivamto hashare el hazakenim. And the yivam has to come into the shar, the place of the zakenim. Rashi is hasharim makam mezuman lakach mashma. Now, it doesn't have to be the actual gate, but whenever they make it, this took place in a shul in Brooklyn, they have to say, okay, this is the shara, this is now the gate, now you're entering into our shara. They have to make sure that it is established. They once did a Maisa Chalitza, and they actually required five people in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. But didn't they retract? No, the Pursumei Milsa, they wanted to publicize the event. Rashi explained, the Pursumei Milsa, the Chalutzahi, to make sure known that this woman is a chalutza and she's not allowed to marry a kohen, so the more the merrier there. This way we have a public opinion that she is a chalutza. Inam, he says Rashi, alternatively, in order to find her to get remarried. We feel bad for her. Her husband died and she's childless and she wants to remarry him. So by getting more men to be there and to see her, maybe she's going to find a new shidduch. Fascinating, Rashi. Absolutely fascinating. Actually pretty funny. I was at the Haas concert Sunday night, and Deddy, an old-time singer, Israeli, maybe you remember. Deddy, he's a big singer. No, he's, I mean old. I mean, he's not of the newer group. So he was there, and he introduced his son. His son debuted at Eliab or something, and on his way out, he said, by the way, my son's looking for a shidduch, anybody who's interested. So he announced in front of hundreds of people that his son is looking for a shidduch. So that's the idea that's going on here also by the case of Yibam. And I knew Adam could sing so well. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Vaitina Rav Ashi, Ikla Lebei Rav Kana. Rav Ashi once visited the base medrash of Kana. Armalei Salak Mar Ligavan Lemulie Bei Chamisha. So what did he say here? Have Rav Ashi come to us so we could complete the count of five, I guess. They're performing chalitza, it sounds like. The moment he came in, they were doing chalitza. So they said, we need you, you're number five. Samar Rav Kana, Havi Kamina, Kamid Rav Yehuda, Amrilei Tasak Lizerizai Dekana, Litztufe Bei Chamisha. What's the exact translation here? What are you telling me to do? Take a stick?
Go up to the bundle of reeds to join the five.
Okay. So this is Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda said to him, come join us. So Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Huda, Lam ali chamisha, why do we need five? Rabbi Huda, why are you going so crazy getting five? We already have three here. Amrullah, Rabbi Huda says back, Kiyecha de la Parsa Milsa, the same idea, in order to publicize that she's a chalutza or another in order to get her to find the shidduch. Well, I guess the fourth one probably wouldn't sit in the bezda. Maybe I don't know. Yeah. But I wonder if this is the idea behind the kiddush, that people make a kiddush for their daughters, and it's supposed to be that the daughter is supposed to be there and, you know, wish a mazel tov to her to get more men to see her in order to find her shidduch. There's a family in the neighborhood here who got married later in life, and then her father realized one time that he never made a kiddush for her.
That was very well publicized.
But at this kiddush, when she was like 35, she was standing there by the door apparently, and everyone was walking by, and the guy she married was at the kiddush and saw her, and they ended up getting married.
There was 600,000.
Okay, but let's finish this daf now. So it goes on. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda have a koi kamed of Yehuda. Rav Shmuel is standing in front of Rav Yehuda. Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to him, "Sak talizirze, dekana, take a mat of reeds and make yourself a place. Litzufei bechamish, in order to join us with the five. The parsume mills, in order to publicize the chalitza." Amalei, Rav Shmuel says back to him, "Tanina, b'Yisrael, bebezin shel Yisrael, bebezin shel gerim. But I'm a ger. I can't sit in a bezin." That's my question from before. Why the Gemara had to exclude a basin shalgerim, but the Gemara clearly says a ger cannot sit in the bezdim. So he says, "Amar Yehuda, kigon Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, ma pikne mamona apume, ma pikne salkadaitach hal pishnaim edim amar Rachman ella marana shtar apume." So Rav Yehuda said,
"Adam yeshar kigon Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda."
Even though he was a ger, you could say based on his own testimony, he's a echad. You need two edim. Ella marana shtar pume.
To take money out based on just his words, he's so trustworthy.
Uh huh.
So someone paid someone or whatever.
Uh huh. That's what's going on. Uh-huh.
Words,
you need aid. So Marana the Pume Rashi says, "E Amar Yadana Be Tipara Lomizdakne Labigne Be." If he says, "I know that this is paid up already," you don't need to further clarify and collect, I guess. But what has to answer the question?
I guess they didn't extract money based on his job, they just used it to support.
Some explain it means he can be mechayv a shvua. He gets he's a strength of an eid echad, which in general an eid echad can be mechayv a shvua. He qualifies for such an eid echad.
That's what you've been reduced to?
Yes, I'm not sure Pshat and Rashi. I don't know. Okay, everyone should have a good day.
Maybe the pshat is because it's not really mitzarif to the three. The base. I mean, the mice, he's still a ger, so it's a psul. It's a psul.
It's probably the prusim milsal. That's all he's probably trying to do. That he's allowed to do. Okay, shkoyach.
Oh, so.